I got the thumbs up from, that guy. Well, first, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education doc, educated educators. Talking education, and that thumbs up came from nobody other than the producer, Jacob. And you know what? It's producer's choice. But I'm Dr. Tim Slecker. Dr. Johnny Lawn, Dr. Johnny.
I'm the doctor now.
Dr. Johnny Lupinacci is here. And yes, of course, Jacob, the chairman of the board, is here because this is probably our favorite day of the week because, Johnny, you and I get to sit back and we get to be guests on our own show. Jacob, how you doing, our friend?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing good. And Tim, I got to say, Johnny's a hockey coach and a doctor. The doctor might make sense.
Right?
I mean, we might be able to work that in somewhere down the
line. I'm not going to lie. I got excited.
I'm chairman of the board. He's the doctor. Tim, we just need to get you a catchy nickname for the T-shirt, and then we'll be set.
And when we do our next live show, we have to have wrestling at it.
There obviously. We go. Obviously, yeah, yes.
Obviously.
You know, I perfected the triple suplex in my day.
Well, save for the show, Tim, because that might help you later. I don't want to spoil anything, but it might help you later. And without further ado, let's do the producer's choice intro.
For choo-choo, producer, Jacob's choice, chairman of the board. Ow!
You now have two choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow! Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
You chose poorly.
I hope you guys are ready for this one because it's been a long time coming. Okay? Right. I've been planning this for some time now. And it's finally coming to fruition. Now, you guys are teachers. Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And do you guys know a little something about punctuation?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you a bit about a punctuation-based internet meme that you may have seen before. I'm just going to read it to you, and then you can tell me if you understand this funny meme. It says, "Let's eat, Grandma," and it says, "Punctuation saves lives." Because depending on where you put that comma, you're either eating Grandma or you're inviting Grandma to have something to eat. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think punctuation is important for this show, too, because today we're going to move some of the punctuation in the Producer's Choice show. We're going to move it over just one spot because today we're having multiple producers present questions for you guys. It's the producers' apostrophe show. Does that make sense?
Nice.
So we've got questions from some of the fans' favorite former Busted Pencils producers for you guys. And I'm glad you could be here. Obviously, the booking was tough to get you both here, but it worked out and we got the producers and it should be a lot of fun. So we're going to lead off with a question from a former Busted Pencils producer.
Hey, Dr. Tim, Dr. Johnny, longtime producer, first time caller here, Luke Mathers. Really appreciate the work that you guys do on Busted Pencils. And I got to know, what is your back-to-school routine? What is the thing you got to hang up now that summer is over and class is about to be back in session? I think the listeners would love to know.
So to tell you and show you how long this has taken, I got Luke to do that a month ago when class was just getting back into session. But I think the topic still stands. Can you tell us about some of your favorite accoutrements for your classroom, Tim?
Back to school, routine, regimen, things that are there. The first thing, though, to actually get ready for back to school is the night before preparation of getting ready for back to school. That would include the ironing board.
Oh,
because I have spent the entire summer not using anything like an iron or an ironing board. T-shirts, shorts, underwear, socks, no need for that type of preparation. But, here we go coming into it. So Yeah, I put that together, though. That means, you know, essentially taking an assessment of the, quote, back to school clothes. I actually don't do a back to school shopping because that takes a while. I do the, what do I got from last year that I can put back in service with an iron and an ironing board that'll get me through so that I can be ready for that first day. And now that we're a month in, that entire first month. So that's part of my routine, if that's what Luke was asking about, in really getting ready. And, you know, the other part is that I believe this or not, I try to go to bed early.
Oh.
I do, but I'll admit this, though. It's kind of like trying to go to bed early on Christmas when you're 8. It doesn't work out so well because I'm sitting there thinking, I'm excited. Jacob, go.
It's especially a bad idea because no matter how long you stay up the night before school starts, Santa doesn't come. So it's just, yeah. It's a bad idea.
So I mean, that's, you know, I'm going to say, I can't wait to hear what Johnny Lupinacci's got to say about this.
Johnny.
The jockster coming in hot. You know, I'll keep it pretty short on this one. I am a person of routine, and also maybe some may say superstition or compulsion. Like I like to keep a real good in season and off season routine. And so the end of the off season is right about when school starts up, probably when Luke asked us that question. And that is when, I guess my part of my regiment is I get out the dress clothes, make sure they're all hung up in the order that they need to be in for which dress shirts go on which day, you know, get the suits out, send them, take them to the cleaners, make sure that they're all, you know, fresh and ready to go. Make sure like each pair of shoe color coordinated with the ties and the shirts are all. Ooh. So I redo my closet, redo my bedroom, and I get ready for the season because the season is a marathon. It's a grind, and organization is everything. The other thing I do is I make sure my tools of the trade are topped off. Right. And so as a teacher, those are the supplies that I know I'm going to need to do my job at its best. And my favorite supply to make sure I'm stocked up on are Sharpie markers, are good writing pens, and are dry erase markers, the Expos, so that I can do some really cool artwork on the board. I look forward to that every year. So like Tim, a kid on Christmas Eve, not quite for me, but I get excited about being in the classroom, being able to put all those big sort of lecture notes up on the board and play art before I teach and run through those in class. So yeah, I get excited about tools of the trade and my routine going from off season to in season.
So for the people who are just listening, they who aren't watching our video feed, Johnny was actually able to grab a Sharpie marker and some dry erase markers. Now, my question, Johnny, is, did we just get super lucky that you had those? Or if you had like a turkey leg and some mashed potatoes, would you have held that up and said, and every year I get my mashed potatoes ready for the new class year?
Well, Jacob, I'm at the workstation. Okay. And I always have to have tools of the trade in multiple places where you will need them. They need to be in your desk, on your desk. They need to be in your backpack. If you have more than one backpack, you have to have ample supply in each backpack. You also have to have some at home, some in the car, some at the classroom you're going to. And that way, you're never caught without any of the tools of the trade. Mm. Boom. I held them all up. I'll have to send you some fun pictures. Maybe you can throw in there, too. It's a joke around the college that why has he always got three or four dry erase markers like between his knuckles? Like, I have to have multiple colors, and I have this whole theatrics of teaching thing I do, Jacob. I might have to send you a video because I'm ambidextrous on the board and I do all this crazy math teacher stuff. Even though I'm not teaching math, it's always a little bit of a show to put the board notes up in multiple colors. And, you know, everything's off if you're not ready. So always have your tools of the trade at your disposal at literally less than arm's length.
So you're not just the jockter. What I'm getting here with this cool marker hand thing, you're also kind of like the doctorine with all these these claws you've got popping out there, which is very cool.
The markerine.
The markerine.
Mark up, like Wolverine-esque, but it's markers instead. You know, when I was a high school math teacher, last one, my favorite back to school thing ever was I would sometimes wear like a lab coat, and sewn into the line of a couple of my suit jackets and my lab coat was a TI-85 calculator on a track, so I could go whoosh, and I'd flick my arm out forward like a karate chop, and the calculator, I would say, stand back, calculate, and I'd chop, and boom, the calculator would slide out of my sleeve. And kids, you know, a couple of times thought it was cool. I thought it was cool every time I did it. Mm. But, you know, it was more of a back to school fun thing for me every year. And kids kind of thought it was a bit over the top, is I think what they told me. But hey, I have fun in class.
Boy, doing a little bit of a Robert De Niro.
Yes.
Well, that's where I learned it.
I was going to say,
I would say when I was early on in my teaching, I fabricated that, and I would say, you talking to me? Calculator. Cackalack. Get it out.
Did you use the drawer rail just like Robert
De
Niro
exactly
did?
That's exactly what I used.
That's awesome.
You know what I used? I took apart a drawer. I used the drawer rail, and that was what keep it from flying completely off when the early prototypes, you know, didn't have a stopper on them, and you'd flick it and hope you catched it. And it didn't work. It just kind of went flying every time. So we had to put a stopper in and slightly alter, you know, the sleeve of the suit jacket. So it was a little awkwardly large to, you know, not impede the forward motion.
Man, you could not do that today.
Why?
Oh, man.
I didn't ever like aim it at kids and pretend it was a gun. I mean,
Johnny never aimed a calculator at a kid, you know, just to be on the record.
No, it was like a robot move, like now, boom.
You never aim a calculator at anybody. You have to assume it could be loaded. You don't want any accidents with that calculator.
That's right.
There could be numbers punched in already.
Quadratic equation solved.
We're a nonviolent show, guys, but we can admit that time that Robert De Niro had that cool thing in his sleeve, that's awesome. I think we can all agree on that. Regardless of where you come from.
I bought in. I bought in all the way on it, clearly.
Apparently so. So that's one producer, Luke Mathers. Do you have any nice words about Luke? He's my boss, and he told me to tell you to say good things, so please.
He's my day one.
Yeah, I mean,
he was the producer that I first had. Way back, was it Mad Radio, Tim?
Yeah, man.
I mean, this is pre-Civic Media days by a few years. And Luke spent many a COVID days with us, you know, cutting tracks, developing clips. Man, I still love every chance we get to chop it up with Luke. He'll say, my doctors. And I get a big giant smile on my face. Love you, Luke. Guy's a beauty.
Yeah. Those were the time. You know, like I said, it was truly what they'd say, a mom and pop radio station. And Luke was there, man. And thank goodness, because Johnny, we truly were at that point only able to talk. The idea of being radio hosts and knowing that, and Luke was just there to really just, you know, help us and steer us. And hey, Luke Mathers, man, we love you, brother.
Luke's great, but he's not the only producer you guys have had over the years. In fact, there's more. So let's keep working down the chronology here to our second producer question.
Hey, Dr. Tim. Hey, Dr. Johnny. Hey, Producer Jacob. It's a pencil buster from your past, Producer Jess here. I miss talking education with you educated educators, and I've been busy getting some education myself, as is my spouse, who's returned to leaving a classroom after a year away. Now, he and I have been having some long talks about technology in the classroom, and I'm looking for your input. His new high school has a, quote, bell-to-bell phone policy, meaning the expectation is that phones are not in students' possessions, even in a locker or a backpack, from first to last bell of the school day. In my own classroom, teaching seventh graders on the weekends, I have a more relaxed phone policy. I allow students to use their phones during designated breaks. And if those phones come out at any other times, the phones take a vacation to a box on my desk until the end of class. My question for you two, what is your ideal school phone policy, and how do you propose enforcing it? Really looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. Until next time, pencil busters.
Nice.
I'm going to let Johnny lead off on this one. And
Oh my gosh, I thought it was going to go to Tim. Jess asked multiple part questions.
Yeah, she did.
That are extremely situational and contextual, which is why she was an amazing, amazing producer. And just listening to that question, you listeners, you know that Jess is also an amazing educator. So yeah. Truly, you know, always happy to have educated educators talking education here on Busted Pencils. I have to say, for me, the ideal phone policy, I love what Jess is doing. And that's what I would do too, in the context where, you know, she has great relationships with her students. You know, it's one where it's probably maybe a smaller scale than the full school or the full district. So a little easier to enforce. And like most great education, I think Jess is successful with that in her classroom because of the relationship she has with their students. She's empathetic, but she's firm. She's disciplinary, but she's not punishing. So any policy should be those things carried out by a leader who's empathetic and firm, disciplinary and not punishing, and has established a trusting relationship with the students. So does that mean students get mad if their phone goes into the box on Jess's desk? No, they probably have big, big emotions about it, or they're a little bummed, or they might even say, oh man, why aren't you being cool? Right. And Jess gives them the lecture about like, well, cool. Well, this is actually pretty cool in my world. Right. If you're an old timer like me, but I will say that this is going to maybe be surprising, listener, and Jess may not be surprised with this, because we talked a little bit about how sometimes over the course of my teaching career, I learned that a unified policy, even if it didn't match exactly my teaching style, benefited everyone. And I will say, at first, when I heard about these bell-to-bell policies, I thought, oh man, I've been in schools. All you're going to be doing is chasing kids around trying to get their phones away. But yet here I am surprised, having talked to a number of teachers and students in many of the districts around our country who have these policies, who say, oh, Johnny, it's not really that big of a deal. Like, we still use technology in the classrooms. And, you know, it's kind of nice to be on a break and talking to our classmates and seeing each other in the hallway. And of course, I underestimate our young people. And the curmudgeon in me was like, you know, they're on their phones all the time. That's the problem. But actually, they've been quite embracing of this. Now, of course, they still get upset when the phones get taken away or they get reminded, you know, don't bring your phone to school, or, you know, put it in your locker, or keep it, you know, in your car if you drive yourself to school and you're a student, or leave it at home. So I'm a big fan of these policies, shockingly, because very seldom do I like control of kids. But I think, again, when teachers carry it out empathetically with firm reminders, like, hey, we don't do phones, bell to bell. Remember, hey, put that phone in the box, right? Those kinds of things. We get to be disciplinary without punishing, and we get to see kids talking to other kids, making eye contact, you know, with their teachers and with the other staff in their building, and being kids, which is, I know I sound like an old timer, but man, if there's one thing I tell every young person, it's sort of like Billy Madison. You don't want to go to the fifth grade, like stay young forever. Right. But no, really be a kid. And part of being a kid is having relationships with your friends that aren't 24/7, you know, multi-layered connections. You can do that after school. You can do that in, you know, sneak it, you know, that's, you got to give the kids something to sneak. Jacob, you asked us about teenage rebellion a couple of producer choices ago, right? Shout out Terry Barr, wrote an article about it. We love that, but no, give them something to rebel with, you know, sneak in their phones, but also invite them to the opportunity of human to human connection. And that's what I've been seeing. So that's my long version. Kick it to you, Tim.
Whoa.
sending it over from the Jockster.
Whoa.
Man. You guys think I'm ever letting that name go? You're crazy.
He's keeping it. Oh, well, yeah, Jess. Leave it to Jess, too, to put, you know, some complexity into the question, you know, kind of pushing us to explore some ideas there. You know, hey, is it good? Is it bad? I have an evolution on this, and I think there was a show where it kind of revealed this, where I'm actually okay and supportive of bell to bell, no phones. I just am. I didn't, you know, ask me that a year and a half ago, maybe not, you know, would have been like, well, you know, it's good. You know, the fact that they have this, you know, incredibly powerful computer in their hands, it could be a companion to their learning. Who are we to cut access off to that? But, you know, the reality is that, the phone, particularly the smartphone, the ability for students to get pulled away, Johnny, you say socialization, the isolation that a phone creates because you have it, whether it's to scroll, whether it's to get on the social media, whether it's to be, you know, texting with, you know, your neighbor or, you know, even your parents or other family members, what's going on. It just totally really doesn't have, to me, a place where somebody can say, but it's essential to the learning atmosphere, environment, and social situations that we want to see. It's just not essential at all. And so if it's not essential, then we don't need it. That doesn't mean that it's a curmudgeon anti-technology statement by saying this. It is, to me, truly of saying it doesn't, it creates more pain and more problems than it actually, for anybody who could say, but it does. No, I don't care, but it does. Now, if you wanted to talk about technology, if we could say, and here's where I put in there, give them a device that only has, quote, access to, and in today's world, some form of an AI-enhanced technological advice, different story, totally different story. But phones, there's really no, there's nothing you can say to me that says it's an essential, it's you know, punishing students for things. It's taking away their ability to communicate. And I would say actually it enhances their ability to communicate and puts back in place something that, you know, more and more kids need, which is the social contacts that schooling typically provides that has really gone away. Because while you're socially present in an environment with others, the reality that the isolation, in fact, even think about that, that you can be surrounded by people, but yet be isolated because that phone creates like a sphere of isolation around you. There's nothing good that can be put forward as to saying, well, here's an exception to the bell-to-bell rule. So, Jess, I'm sorry. I don't care how responsible you are and how they are. On this one, it's a policy decision that I, as a leader, would be carrying out.
Okay, so I've got two things to say about this. Number one, Johnny was on his phone during that segment. So I think people should know.
I was. I was. I'm texting back my players. I was telling them, hey, guys, I got a new nickname. It's the Jockster.
and my second comment for you, Tim, is that if we had Fred Flintstone here on this show, we know he'd say yabba dabba doo. Okay? Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
And if we had Hulk Hogan on the show, we know he'd talk about Hulkamania or say something racist. But we can be pretty sure it's one of those two things. You know, he's consistent. Yeah. And I knew from the second this story started, it was going to end with, but if there's an AI on that phone, I think it's okay. So I just
I didn't say that. I didn't say on that phone. I said on a device.
If you had a phone-like device that only talks to artificial people, I think that's probably okay.
And curveball, actually, some of the students I talked to, a few of them now have, you know, also smiled a little bit and said, it's just nice because when I used to bring my phone to school, my parents would text me all day long. Yeah. So parents, if you're out there, don't text your kid during school, right? As a teacher, that used to drive me nuts. Like, you need a break from them. They need a break from you. They're with us. They're safe. Well, our legislators could do more to ensure their safety. But hey, Jacob, man, it was so nice to hear Jessica's voice, beloved producer, and really co-host of our show, of many of our shows. So big ups to Jess out there continuing her education. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as we heard, continuing to teach. So much love to you, Jess.
And there's one more producer I want to get to who I think we all love this guy. It's me. I'm going to have a question here for you guys. And it's going to be our 60-second question of the day. So don't worry. You don't have to think too much about it, but
let's go.
Fellas, I'm going to start with you, Dr. Tim Slucker. So don't try to get away from me on this.
I'm not.
All right. I know we say all the time that we can't do this show without the fans, and that's true to an extent. But you know who we really can't do this show without? Our wonderful producers, folks. Let's give credit to those guys. So, Tim, if you want to say something about your producers, please. You've got 60 seconds or more if it's about me.
Wow, Jacob, actually, you nailed it right there. Is that there is no Busted Pencil show without producers and the different talents that they bring in elevating the show, pushing us to do more, supporting us in ways that is just truly to say. It's like to have now, what is it, you know, since 2019, actually, Johnny, right? 6-7 years of doing this show, 3 different producers, you know, an assortment of you know, substitute producers that have been available here, is that without all of you, there really isn't Busted Pencils. There's just two guys who talk a lot of nonsense. And, you know, you guys bring something different. Each of you, and so with Luke and Jess, and now Jacob, actually, too, with you, you have brought to this show a whole new experience for the listener in the way that, in just framing, bringing up this producer's choice and, you know, the organizing of also bringing on guests and putting together some of the prep work. But your creativity in realizing what it is that we're doing here has added a depth to this show that it didn't have. So there you go, Jacob.
I'm tempted to end on that because, I mean, really, who could disagree with those remarks? But Johnny, I want to give you a chance. I want to talk about the value of producers and the great experiences you've had with them over the years.
Absolutely. Everyone who's ever produced us has been phenomenal. And like Tim said, we had, you know, substitute. We had people training on our show that got moved to other shows. We've just had an amazing group of people. And like I said, for me, I have to give big ups to my day one producer, Luke Mathers, because I think he has a hand in getting those great producers to our show, Jacob, of which you have filled those mighty big shoes that Jess and Anya, and before that, Luke, really did just an amazing job with. Unreal. Love it. Aaron. We got Aaron was there, man. And Sam. We've had them a few times. So big ups to all of those cats who have been amazing. Listeners, Tim and I would not know what to do, right? Or how to, you know, structure into the small amount of time that we have with you listeners any semblance of, thoughtful conversation. We would just be rambling back and forth with each other. So it's truly the efforts of all these producers. If you like the show, then you love the producers. So thank you, Jacob, for producers' choice today.
Yeah. So, Johnny, thank you for coming on your own show. Dr. Tim Slucker, thank you for coming on your own show. I always love having you guys here with me. In a way, I was on my own show on your own show today, which was kind of weird. Producerception, you might even call it. Yes. Woo. But thanks for tuning in for the producers apostrophe show today. And I want to thank my predecessor producers as well, because if they didn't do such a great job keeping this show going with you guys, I'd never have gotten to work with you guys. So I'm very grateful to them. But Tim, I think there's one more thing we have to do today.
Yeah, it is time for your moment of zen. We don't have to engage in grand heroic actions to participate in the process of change. Small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can transform the world.
This is the Dr. Johnny Lupinacci here to say thank you for listening to today's episode of Producers Choice. We got to hear from some lovely producers of the past doing amazing things in the present. And remember, you could grab great podcasts jam-packed full with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website or on BustedPencils.com, where you can head on over, follow, like, review, do however it is you do. Just be a fan and a follower and pencil buster with us. And don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And be sure to grab next week's class and session on Wednesday. And if you don't already know, well, then you're going to love this one. You can catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across every Civic Media Network station for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.